Xbox. It's Tuesday, and here on the Roundtable, that means book picks. Independent booksellers from all over the region take turns joining us on the show and sharing the best things they've read recently. Today, we're joined by Emily Crowe from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. A more eager guest on this program I don't think I've ever seen. Emily Crowe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here this morning.
Do you like radio?
Oh, it's just the best thing going.
I don't believe you. So you have a whole great list of books.
Yes, I do.
And you want to tell us about them?
I do, most desperately.
Most desperately?
Yes.
Well, we have a good 10 minutes to fill, so let's get at it.
All right. I am going to start this morning with a book called Only Child, written by Rhiannon Naveen. And this is an incredible debut novel, but it's also really heartbreaking. It's the story of Zach, and he's in first grade when the novel opens. And he and his classmates and Miss Russell, the teacher, are hiding in a closet at the back of their classroom because they've heard gunshots. And there's a lot of commotion and a lot of shouting. And until the police come and open up the closet, they don't really know what's happened. But it turns out that Zach and his class and his whole classroom, they survived the shooting, but one of the 19 casualties was Zach's 10-year-old brother, Andy. And this is all just the opening chapter where this happens. And then Naveen explores the psychological fallout in the rest of the novel. Zach's mother is utterly shocked and devastated and puts herself on a desperate quest for justice against the shooter's parents and doesn't seem to have much time for Zach. And Zach's father tries to cope by working longer and longer and longer hours. And Zach himself is feeling, he's dealing with guilt. His very, very first reaction to hearing about his brother's death was actually relief, because Andy had behavioral issues and he was often really mean to Zach. So Zach thought that with Andy gone, their family could be happy again, with no more shouting. But then it starts to sink into him what this means and what a dead brother really means. And then from there on, he's desperately trying to find ways to connect with his mom and his dad, but he still feels invisible.
Wow, what a sad book. Way to start the segment.
Yeah, well,
and you know, the timing of this, it couldn't be more poignant.
It couldn't be. And then what is it that the memes have been saying? We haven't gone more than an average of like 48 hours without some sort of mass shooting. So I'm not sure that any time this year I wanted to talk about this book wouldn't have been hitting too close to home.
Only Child.
Yeah. And it's got a child narrator, which I think is a really unique way of engaging the narrator. Because Zach doesn't have the sophisticated vocabulary, so you're seeing a child trying to work through and process everything that's happening, his feelings about his brother, about his parents, about his need to feel connection. And if you've read either The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night or the book Room by Emma Donoghue, you'll know what I mean about having an effective child narrator and what that can bring to the book. And this is one of the best written ones that I've read in years.
I would imagine it's tricky as a writer to become a child as a narrator.
I would think so. Not a writer myself, but if I ever tried to go down that road, I don't know how I would even begin.
Well, a story like this cannot have a completely satisfactory happy ending, I assume.
Not a happy ending, but I would say it's a very satisfying ending. And in turn, I'd say ultimately it's pretty hopeful because the book leads to ways of forgiveness.
All right, that's Only Child, a novel by Rhiannon Naveen. We're joined today by Emily Crowe from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley. What's next?
Okay, next is a book called I Am, I Am, I Am by Maggie Farrell. Sorry, Maggie O'Farrell.
Okay.
Ooh. This is the first book of hers that I've ever picked up, but it was so incredible that I've ordered in her backlist novels so that I can enjoy it. Her prose was just beautiful. Mm. The book is subtitled 17 Brushes with Death, and I know that sounds really grim, but it turns out to be, I think, a really brilliant conceit. She tells her story as a series of essays, and each essay is concentrating on a near-death experience that she's had. I really like memoirs that play with formula or format, or memoirs that do something a little unexpected, mm-hmm. and this is definitely one of the best I've ever read. The first chapter is a story. She's just turned 18. She is out hiking in a remote area by herself. She meets a man on the trail, and she feels instantly chilled by him, but, you know, she just kind of moves on,
yeah.
and within a few minutes, he has somehow gotten in front of her, and he confronts her, and he throws his leather strap of his binoculars around her neck, and
yikes.
She quickly thinks, she ducks under it, and just starts blathering as loudly as she can about birds and ducks, and she's late for work, and she's heading to the village, and everyone's going to be looking for her, and
right.
she makes it back safely and reports her experience to the police, and they don't really do anything. They just dismiss her as, you know, oh, hysterical woman,
yeah.
whatever. And 2 weeks later, another young woman from the village is found strangled on that same trail. And she uses this basically as a means of exploring why to this day she can't wear scarves or turtlenecks and can't stand anyone touching her neck.
Mm.
So not all of the chapters are as edge-of-the-seat thrill as that one. Some of them she's talking about sort of stupid things she did as a youth. In one of them, she jumps off a very high pier at night into the sea below, only to find that there's actually a pretty strong undertow, and she can't see which way is up.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Dark. She can't tell if she's rising to the surface or pulling herself further under. There was another time as a child where she ran out into the street straight into the path of a car. She also had a very pernicious childhood disease that kept her bedridden for about a year, and she survived that. And then she juxtaposes that with the life-threatening allergies that her own daughter has. And whether she's recounting her childhood or reflecting on her adulthood, she has just such luminous writing, and it's really soul-searching. And what I found amazing about this book is how she turns each of these 17 brushes with death into a jumping-off point that examines life.
And what did she learn?
It's all complicated.
Really?
Yes.
Well, these are two downers. I got to say, anything exciting and happy?
No, it's not a downer at all.
No?
I promise.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No,
Emily Crow is here from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Yoo-hoo!
Okay. So I'm going to move on to another piece of nonfiction, Things That Make White People Uncomfortable by Michael Bennett. This book won't be published for a few weeks, but it's the book I'm reading right now, and I'm really interested in seeing how it's going to be received. I got a reading copy of this book at a conference I went to last month, and I picked it up because I wanted to read more nonfiction. I'm a novel girl at heart, mm-hmm. but I wanted to diversify my readings, and I had no idea then who Michael Bennett was, but turns out he's a football player for the NFL.
He's Martellus Bennett, brother?
Yeah, he is. And he's going to do the prologue, but it's not written yet for this particular edition.
Excellent.
But so he's a defensive lineman. I hear that's, you know, an integral part of the
so
team.
So you're not really a football fan.
No, I don't give a hoot about football,
okay.
despite having lived in Mississippi for most of my life, where football is, you know, not just king, but a religion itself.
Michael Bennett's a good player. So is Martellus.
Good. Well, he's a good writer. He apparently has made a name for himself in the Black Lives Matter movement, and he's interested in work for social justice in general. The book is written in a very readable and conversational style.
I see a lot of bookmarks here. You've obviously been through this several
times.
Yeah,
you can see where I've turned down all the different pages of things that I want to go back and reread mm. or passages I want to read aloud to my boyfriend, you know, as long as I'm not annoying him.
Right.
And so I learned a lot more about Colin Kaepernick and his protest for kneeling during the national anthem, the institutional racism of the NCAA and the NFL, which, again, not knowing football or sports at all, was news to me.
Mm.
I enjoyed hearing him talk about his own foundation and his aim to put affordable food sources and fresh food in every poor urban neighborhood. He is passionate and he's articulate. And I think he has a lot to contribute to the national conversations about race that we've been having. And I would say if you are an advocate for social justice, this is definitely a must read for you. And I think I've amply demonstrated that you do not need to be a football fan to be able to appreciate what he has to say.
Maybe you'll end up appreciating football.
I certainly have come from this book with a deeper appreciation for the physical rigors of what they go through. Absolutely.
Tepid praise indeed for the game. But all right, Emily Crow is here from the Odyssey Bookshop. What's next?
All right. Now I'm going to talk about a book called Love. It is a picture book for children. It's written by Matt De La Pena, and it's illustrated by Lauren Long. Lauren Long isn't necessarily a household name, but a lot of people know him as the beloved illustrator for the Otis the Tractor books.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I don't usually talk about picture books on the show because obviously it's hard to convey the illustrations to a radio audience.
Right.
But this is a really special book. I had the opportunity to hear these two men talk about their collaboration. And if you can just keep the places where the...
Oh, I will. I won't disturb your bookmarks.
Once they were finished talking about their collaboration, I would swear the whole room was basically sitting there in tears over breakfast. But each full-page spread has, it speaks to a different demographic in the U.S. You've got the urban, the rural, you've got the haves and the have-nots. You've got kids who are lonely, who are contented. You've got single parents and multi-generational families in here. And the illustrations are thoughtful and colorful and lush and full of emotion. Mm. And what I loved, it's basically a book about the different kinds of love that can manifest in a children's lives. Parents and grandparents, siblings, but neighbors and teachers too. And most importantly, a love of self.
How many children's books do you get at Odyssey Bookshop in a given year?
Ooh, how many do...
How many different titles?
Thousands.
And how many actually jump out at you and say, this one is special? What percentage?
I would say a good 100, so 10%.
Really? Oh, that's pretty
10%
good.
10% a year.
But this is a good one.
This is among the best. I think it's going to take its place in the pantheon of children's book. Picture book classics, and it's a book that every library, and whether that's a school library or a public library or a home library, every library should have a copy of this.
All right, only about a minute left here, so pick your favorite of the remaining on the list, and of course, the rest will be at our website.
Oh, gosh. Okay, how about Anatomy of a Miracle by Jonathan Miles?
Okay.
This is coming out in a couple of weeks. It's exactly the kind of book I like to sink my teeth into. It's an amazing cast of characters. They're complicated, they're messy, and it has a storyline that just keeps you turning the pages. And on the surface, it's going to sound, again, a little bit bleak, but it's tempered with so much humor. Mm. Cameron is a young man from South Mississippi. He's had a life of tragedy. He goes to Afghanistan, comes home after an altercation with a landmine, and he's paralyzed. And 4 years later, he's with his sister at the local convenience store, and he stands up and he walks again.
Mm.
Nobody can figure this out, least of all Cameron, and the owners of the convenience store and his family become the center of a three-ring circus. There's a reality TV show. The Vatican sends a devil's advocate. And it's humorously layered on top of everything.
So that's Anatomy of a Miracle, a novel by Jonathan Miles. Well, Emily Crow, the time went very quickly, didn't it?
Very quickly.
And you were skeptical.
I was.
The Odyssey Bookshop is in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Emily Crow joined us today. And you have a website, yeah?
Yes, we do.
What's the website?
www.odysseybks.com.
And Emily's list is posted at wamc.org. Emily Crow, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.